About this portion. It's packed full of things. But I'll point out a few things. How many notice all the times that it said, and they did everything as that Yahweh commanded Moses? And I went through it and just underlined each time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Do you see what I'm saying? So there was definitely an emphasis put on whatever was being done was not just being done because Moses thought it was a good idea. And that's something that we have to remember. What I got out of the beginning of the, especially the Torah portion of it, is God is very, very meticulous in what he does. It's all precise. It's got to be the way he says it. And Moses was very careful to tell the ones who had the anointing on them to do this. Do you know they were just normal people? I mean, you notice that the last three portions, we were dealing with just normal people who the anointing came on them to do the work. How many notice that? Well, let me tell you, if God calls you to do something, you got to trust him that he'll put an anointing on you to do the work. He said, you get these people, bring them out to me, and I'll put my spirit in them, and they're going to know how to do this. It'll just become real to them. Isn't that incredible? So I believe that that's how the same way that Yahweh works today. If you'll just trust him, put your faith in him, I believe the Spirit of the Lord will come on you and you'll get the anointing to do the work. But we've seen that. They didn't do this before. Where'd they come from? They come from slavery. They came out of slavery. They knew how to make brick. They knew how to work all day and collect mud and cut straw. They knew how what hard labor was, but they didn't know how to really work with fine linen. They needed Yahweh to give them an anointing, and he did. And he put together just a wonderful, wonderful picture of the tabernacle that we see that was instituted. It's absolutely incredible. But reading that, you can hear it over and over. It was done as Yahweh commanded Moses. As Yahweh commanded Moses. As Yahweh commanded Moses. No deviation. Whatever he commanded, that's what we're doing. Didn't mean that Moses thought everything made sense. Maybe everybody was like, why? Doesn't matter. We're just going to do it like Yahweh commands. How many want to start doing things the way Yahweh commands? Amen? So I hope that that was something that stuck out to you. It did me. And there's so many other things up in this particular portion that stuck out. But I want to get real quickly. I need to go to John, and I have to deal with John. 1 Kings, of course, you can go there. Again, what we would call the fixed building. It's got a foundation, a literal foundation. Of course, Solomon was the one who was given the honors to build that, because David and all of his and the things that went on in his life, God said, listen, I'm going to take that from you. He raised a lot of the funds. He had the vision for it, but he wasn't the builder of it. More funds came in through Solomon than any king, and he was the actual builder of it underneath his reign. So there's a lot of good points in there that you can take some time to look at. But we're gonna focus more tonight on this John 6, because this is important. This John 6 reading is valuable for us to grab hold to. And I know that you hear it, and you read it, you heard it, there's some questionable verses in there that some people might say, well, what does this mean? Because it talks about the bread coming, that he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And then he talked about, he said, if this stuff offends you about my flesh, He said, what do you think it's going to be when I ascend to where I was before? How many notice those verses? Anybody notice those verses? What do you do with them when you notice them? You can't take the position, well, we don't believe that no more. You got to know it. You got to understand it. It has to be clear to you. So why is that? Because how can you help some? How can you tell somebody else? Because I can tell you the questions that will pop up to you as of being a witness will be those. And you got to know how to explain that. You can't say, well, we don't do that. That's not the answer. Because it's clear. And we're going to look at how clear it is. So we're going to take some time, and hopefully I can point this out to you tonight. I can't do every bit of it because of the length of it. It's just so many verses. But we're going to take some time and look at it together because I want you to understand this John issue. So let's look at it. We're going to take it a verse at a time and go down through it and see how much we could cover in this. Because I want you to be well informed. I want you to understand how this is written, what the context is, and what we're dealing with. So after this, Yeshua went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. I mean, you know, when you see sick people get healed, that gets people's attention, and it still does today. That's why we have folks who went on this healing deal where they claim healing for a lot more people than was healed. But it generates revenue. It generates excitement. It generates crowds. And when people saw that people didn't really care as long as the storyline was good, they kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And there was nobody being healed. They were just saying they were. Because what? Why? Because people in human nature were looking for the miraculous. We want the miraculous. We get excited about the miraculous because what it does, it motivates us and it helps us to be excited about from where we are, no matter what stage that could be. It could be in your own sickness. But it will motivate you to be excitement that maybe, just maybe, it can happen to you. Because you got some, it just ignites you because it happened to somebody else. So you're pushed by that. Well, that's not how we live for the Lord. We're not looking for the next big thing. We know that we can go to the Lord no matter what our situation is. And we have to put our faith in Him. And accept whatever the results are, no matter what, thy will be done. And there's sometimes people get healed. They do. It's miraculous. It's the hand of God touches them. And then how many notice sometimes people don't get healed? But that's not a question of faith. That's just a question of we have to come and settle in our inside that God knows. He knows better than I know. And I'm not in a position to question God at all. And I'm going to trust Him. Is that, should we not believe because we don't see the miracle? No, we should continue to believe. We should continue. So the crowd is coming, following Him because of what? They saw signs that He was doing on the sick. Yeshua went up on the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Now I want you to notice that. What's at hand for us? The Passover's coming. How many love our Torah portions? Huh? So it was the Passover was coming. What's coming for us? Passover time's coming. And so the lifting up His eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward Him, Yeshua said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? And He said this to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Now, on many occasions, Jesus did this. He would ask a question. He already knew what He was going to do, but He's trying to see where people are. I mean, you know, God got to see where we are. Doesn't mean he don't know. Now, Jesus knew where they were, but they needed to know where they were. So in order to include them without coming out and just saying, hey, y'all don't have no faith, he said, let me show you what you have. I mean, and so this is how he's including them. So Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread will not be enough for each of them to get a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are they for so many? And Yeshua said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Yeshua then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the five barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign, again, there's that sign again. When they saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed, notice what they said, this is indeed the what? The prophet who is to come into the world. What prophet are they talking about? Well, the Bible says that they know about Torah, right? They're reading the Torah. They're reading from the scripture. And they know that it says, I'll raise up a prophet from among you. I'll raise up one like Moses. They're thinking that. Then they read Daniel and they said that they seen this prophet called the Son of Man, when the one that's the Ancient of Days. Daniel 7. See, that's what they got on their mind, everything they've ever been taught from Scripture. Their observation of what they're seeing and what is happening or being unfolded in front of them is giving them flashbacks to what they know. What do they know? There's a prophet coming. He's going to be like Moses. What did they reply? This must be him. This is him. This is that Daniel 7 guy. The Son of Man. I want you to think. Now, you see, we read this and we, because this is key. This is indeed. We think, maybe, might be. No. This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. That's their statement. You might want to underline that part. This is indeed the prophet. Because you got to understand the rest of what's going to happen. Remember those questionable verses? When we're dealing with the Son of God, not God the Son. We're dealing with not pre-existence and incarnation, the incarnate. We're dealing with Jesus born, being begat or brought into existence, or the origin of Jesus. So we got all of that. You're thinking all that. When you're hearing this, you're thinking all of that, those lessons. That's what naturally you're going to do. You're thinking of all those lessons, and you're saying, well, how do they fit? Where are they going to fit? Because we got to reconcile this. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force and make him what? Make him king. Because remember, the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man, and what happens in Daniel 7? Are y'all here? This, when I got to this part, I was like, I understand this. This is clear to me. But it's not clear unless you understand what he prophesied in Deuteronomy. I'll raise a prophet just like Moses from among your brethren. And it's not clear unless you read Daniel 7. You won't get John 6. This is the discourse. I mean, this discourse is being laid out. This is it. People are taking this stuff to the bank. They're building their Christian walk with the Lord. They're building it on this discourse. We got to know this stuff. So I'm going through this and I'm like, well, I see that. That's what I need. That stuff you got to take with you on the journey of this discourse. Now, when we get ready to read the rest, what are you going to have with you? You're going to have the Deuteronomy account. I'm going to raise up a prophet from among you like Moses, right? You got that. Then you're going to have the Daniel 7 account. You got that, because what are they going to... He says, and listen, this is no joke here. Jesus says, I got to do something because they just found me out. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. Here he is, Yeshua HaMashiach. He done showed up. Yeshua withdrew again into a mountain by himself. Amen. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. Got into a boat. Who went down? Minus who? Yeshua's not there. We learn that later because the people see. They watching. Where'd he go? What happened to him? Well, he went along on the mountain by himself. The evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum, and it was now dark. And Yeshua was not yet come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Yeshua walking on the sea and coming. That'd be a great indicator. He's different. This guy's different. He just took a boy's meal. He broke it in pieces, gave it to us. We fed 5,000 men. We pick up 12 baskets left over. The people picked up on something. They called him the prophet that was to come. He's the one. They're going to come and take him. Jesus knew it. Disciples, maybe they didn't know, but Jesus knew they're going to make me king now. I'm going to be king, but not right now. Am I king? Yes, I'm king. But I got to go on. Let me get up by myself somewhere. Let me hide. And so Jesus comes and meets them walking on the water. Are y'all with me still? Yeshua walks on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they were, what? Glad to take him into the boat. I would have been glad to get him in too. Right? And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Immediately. I mean, you understand what immediately means. I'm going with immediately. I love that word right there. Immediately. What a ride. Glory to God. Now, you ready for this? On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea, what crowd? That crowd. That same crowd that said the prophet and the king. How many got that part? How many still got Daniel 7 packed away in your front pocket? Keep it close. What about I'll raise me up a prophet from among your brethren, like Moses? You got to keep those things close. So the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Yeshua had not entered the boat. You think they were watching? With his disciples. He was under surveillance. But that his disciples had gone away alone. We saw it. Other boats from Tiberias came near to the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Yeshua was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into a boat and went to Capernaum seeking Yeshua. Where is he? Where is he? Something different. Something happened. Now, the human nature, remember I talked about what brought them originally? The signs that the sick were being healed. What's still keeping them? More signs. Now, does that mean they don't have a revelation? Say, they got a revelation. Prophet, king. They got that revelation. But that's not what they're after. What they're after is to have somebody they can call their king who can do more stuff for them. Now, watch this. See, that's not the goal. The goal is not to have a king who does more for you. The goal is to honor the king who then you stand side by side with and you work with in order to be co-laborers with that king. He gives the orders. We go out and we perform. That's how the kingdom works. It's not we get there and he just takes. We don't do anything. We ain't got to hit a lick at the stick. We just sit down and just let this all going to come. I mean, everybody's going to have a nice fruit tree in front yard. You just go out and you don't even have to pull it. Just sit down, open your mouth, and the stuff just falls in. It's not going to be like that. We have to work. We're going to be co-laborers with him. We're going to be doing some things. Amen. So when the crowd saw that they found him, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi. Notice the word they used. Rabbi. Now, you call him your rabbi, you have accepted his teaching. When you call him rabbi, you have denounced what you know. You have denounced what you've learned, and you're accepting what he teaches. Well, lots of people call Jesus rabbi. He's about to find out if you accept him what he says. Rabbi, when did you come here? Yeshua answered them. Truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Now I want you to notice this. Did he answer him how he got there? That's what they asked. When you come? We watched it. We had you under surveillance. We saw the disciples get in a boat. We didn't see you. Yet we come over here in a boat and you here. How'd you do it? Tell us. How'd you do it? So Jesus answers them. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Notice that all of they're interested in things. They want to talk about how he's doing this stuff, and Jesus is taking them on this different path. He's going to lay it out. Because he said, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him Elohim, the Father, God the Father, has set his seal. Now watch this. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of Elohim? What must we be doing? Tell us what we need to do. Yeshua answered them, this is the work of Elohim, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believe on him that he sent. Now, it would appear here that they already believed. Because they said, this is the prophet. We could take him and I'm not saying they said they was going to make him a king. I'm telling you, Jesus said they was going to make him a king. Who believed Jesus? So, whether you can take that however you want it, I'm telling you that they would have took him and made him a king. Jesus said so. Yet, prophet and king, we have this statement. So he said to him, and he said, what must we do to be doing the works of Elohim? Yeshua answered them, this is the works of Elohim, that you believe in him. Notice that. That you believe in him whom he has sent. I thought they did that already. Right? We got to waste the time here. Because I thought they already said, that's the prophet. And Jesus said, they're going to take me and make me king. But watch what he says. I'm going to read it to you again. This is the work of Elohim, that you, who supposedly made these confirmations, believe in him whom he has sent. Don't you see what he's about? Because he's about to tell them something that they have never heard before. And is it going to change their perception of him? Let's see. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? That we may what? that we may see and believe you. What sign do you do that we may see and believe you? Well, let's look at a few of them already. He passes the sick, they get healed. That drove the crowd. They get a big crowd, 5,000 men. Ain't nobody got food. He takes boys' meal, feeds 5,000, picks up 12 baskets. They see that. Then they put him under surveillance. Disciples go on to one boat. Jesus goes somewhere. They other boats come. They take them across, and they get there, and he's there. And how'd you do it? You see my point? So they got all these questions happening. They're talking about, now they're asking, what are you going to do? You see, they've forgotten about their prophet already. They've already lost sight of their king. What are you going to do? And what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Notice that. What work do you perform? Watch this. You ready? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. What are they referring? What are they going reference to now? Their scripture. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. The line we from. The heirship we possess. The generations that were before us, they ate manna from heaven, top that. What you going to do about that? I mean, they just got up and the stuff was there. God loved them. He favored them. We highly favored manna-eating people. Brother Chad called me and said, hey, you going to do Topo? I said, yeah. So he said, man, I just knew you had to do it tonight. I don't know what's up, but you got to do it tonight. So I didn't know either when he called me. I said, Lord, what's up with this? Yeah, we the manna eating folks. What you going to do about that? Well, let's see what he says. He's about to blow their mind. He blows a lot of people's mind with these next statements. Who still got Daniel 7? Keep Daniel 7. I'll raise up a prophet, Deuteronomy. So you got to keep that. So, watch what he says. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now he's got their attention. They're kind of looking. They're looking at him. Well, where he's going with this? Now watch this. For the bread of Elohim is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now who's still... Now I want you to get this. I want you to keep this in mind. Because I can promise you, we're going to get a revelation about a mystery tonight. We're going to get a revelation, I promise you. Keep that in mind. Now, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of Elohim is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, he was rabbi a minute ago. I don't know what happened, but now he's sir. Sir, give us this bread always. We want this bread. Yeshua said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. So you can call him whatever you want to call him. You can say Jesus. Jesus. You can say all those things. But until you believe in him, all them words mean nothing. Because he'll go from Jesus. Oh, Jesus, sir. That's exactly what happened. You say, people do that all the time. I can't understand that. But when you believe in him, he's always going to be your Yeshua HaMashiach. Always. No matter what, good or bad, it doesn't make no difference. He's the anointed one. Always. Notice these encounters. And Yeshua said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will. Notice that. I will never cast out. Isn't that wonderful? That is fantastic. So people, listen, people tell me, I don't know, I just feel like the Lord just, I'm all alone. They say it like he left them. He said, I'll never cast you out. I remember walking out on God, but never being cast out by God. We have this wonderful promise here. Verse 38. Here's one of those. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What did he just say? He said, I have come down from heaven. He come down from heaven. Wow. You got to keep that in mind. I'm going to do the mystery, then we'll come back and look at it. I've come down from heaven. John 6:38. That's a proof text that's being used, to use as a proof text. That he always existed before he ever was. And he was just incarnated. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Keep that in mind. Watch this. 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. So it is going to appear to be lost. Folks are dying, and they're still dying. Saved, the unsaved, the saved, the people dying. It appears like there's a loss. He said, I don't lose anything. You might think we lose him, but I'll raise him up on the last day. How many see that? You don't raise up people on the last day if they've already been raised up. He's going to repeat that. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Looks on the Son and believes him has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. That's a repeating of that. Anytime you see that, okay, don't get that confused. I don't care what anybody else says. I know they're going to try to sell this verse and that verse. But I'm telling you, Yeshua said, you get raised up on the last day. The last day, the end of the age. You get raised up. Now we have a change. He went from rabbi to sir, so the Jews grumbled about him. Because he said, why they grumble? He ain't sir no more. He definitely ain't rabbi. Rabbi went out the window. Sir, if you're giving out free bread, we want it. And we were here first. I mean, they didn't care about, they just wanted that bread. Until he said, I am the bread of life. So they grumbled among, he says, and Yeshua answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. Notice that. So the Jews grumbled about him because they said, I'm the bread of life that come down from heaven. They said, is not this Yeshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I've come down from heaven? Notice what their thoughts are. We know that he's the son of Joseph and Mary. We know that family. We know he was born in Bethlehem in a manger. We know about all that. We know that. How say he now he came from heaven? She would answer them, do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the... How many times that makes? Keep up with those things because they're important. Three times he's telling them. I'll raise him up on the last day. I'll raise him up on the last day. I'll raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by Elohim. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from Elohim. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. As a condition here, you got to do what? Believe. What did he need to believe? In his words, his teaching, the gospel. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Now, who brought that up first? They did. Remember, they was talking, because they wanted, hey, we the manna-eating folks. We somebody. And so he tells them, he said, let's deal with that. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. I hate to tell you, and you're going to die. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I mean, he's laying it down to him, isn't he? So, now we're having some issues that they're going to have to deal with. They're going to have to come to some realities. Now watch this. He said, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Your bread, die. My bread, not die. So you go to the grocery store and you say, I want a loaf of bread. Well, the baker comes out and says, I got two loaves. This one will kill you, and this one you'll live forever. Which one are you going to take? You know, we laughing, but some folks, they taking that bread that'll kill them over the bread of life. Now we all assuming, up to this point, we're all here assuming what that bread is. We're assuming, because it came down from heaven, it's the bread of life. We're assuming what that bread is. Let's see. He's going to tell us. So, you eat the bread that come down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. Now watch this. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. How many got that? Is that clear? I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Think about that. You got to let that soak in. You got to let that. So what was always in heaven? The breath of God. It's always there. Can Yeshua say, I am come down from heaven? Sure he could. You know why? Because the of God was made flesh. If the breath of God is made flesh, that doesn't make what's revealed to us a second person of some triune God. It is what it is, just what it says. He says, I am the bread from heaven. It's me. And the bread that I give you is my flesh. Think about that. Can anybody go to the Father but by him? So you have to understand it, because you gotta keep this in mind so you can grab hold to it. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, now they're looking, did you hear what he said? I mean, he went from rabbi to sir. You understand? They got all these emotions now. They're grumbling. Now they're disputing amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because what's the bread? Remember, what it was at the beginning, we're reading it and we're taking it. So the bread comes from what? Heaven. What form is it in? It's in the word form, which is the breath. And how does that? How does the word and the breath get transported into whatever? How does it transport? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of it. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. And God said, Gabriel says, don't worry, because what's going to happen in you will be by Holy Spirit. So the word, the bread from heaven, literally, that understanding that, its creation is there. It's brought into the plan and purpose of God is in heaven, but it's transferred. Where at? Into the womb of the virgin, who then takes on flesh and dwells among us. So is Jesus correct when he says, the bread is my flesh? See, now we have it. We have it, and it's tangible now. It was prophetic, talked about. My fathers ate manna. I don't understand that. But Moses didn't give you that manna. Just remember, that manna was from the Most High. And I'm from the Most High. Does that mean when he says I'm from the Most High, that somehow he pre-existed? When he says that? No, but he's empowered or brought into existence or beget. He was the begetting. And we see that in the birth narrative. We see it. It's clear. So I want you to keep that. You have to understand the part that brings revelation to you. He said, he tells us what the bread is. The bread's the flesh. So we say, what we say, the bread is what? The word of God. It is the word of God. But in this conversation, it's what? It's the flesh. Did I come up with that? No, I'm telling you, Jesus said, the word, the bread is my flesh. And you're going to have to take part in that. Because what I do, what I'm going to do for you as a human being, flesh and bone, blood, is going to make a difference in your life. If you take me, it's going to make all the difference in your life, because I'm the second Adam. I'm going to pay the price in full. So you grab this. The Jews disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's putting it out there. I mean, this is the big difference from breaking a boy's meal and giving it to people to eat. This is a big difference from walking on the water. All those things are wonderful. But what he's breaking down to him, this is serious business. He said, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. How you feed on the flesh of Jesus? How do you drink the blood of Jesus? Think about that. You got to get a hold to what he's all about. And the way you do it is you take what he says, what he preaches, what he teaches, and you got to take it in. You got to literally eat that. So when we say we eat the bread of life, a lot of times we say, man, I got to get me some bread. What are we referring to? We want to get the word, right? Well, Jesus is telling them that word is now standing in front of you. And what I'm going to do, what I'm about to do for you, if you consume that, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have eternal life. You got to understand why he's having to do this. The Jews had drifted so far because of the traditions. They drifted so far, they were trying to find him in a different way. That's why so many of them, by the thousands today, don't even believe that Yeshua ever came. They're not, you know, there's a such thing as Messianic Jews. I mean, they believe the Messiah come. That's like we believe. Then there's a big thousands upon thousands, they don't wait, they're waiting. He ain't come yet. He's not here. So, understand this. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the... How many times that makes? That's four. I'll raise him up on the last day. Notice that doesn't change. At every level of this teaching, at every level of his explanation, the consistent thing, he don't change, you get raised up on the last day. Last day. How many see that? These are little things you just see as you're reading this. You read it over and over and just start standing out to you. For my flesh is true food. When he says my flesh is true food, what else could he say? What else could he say? My words are true food. My words. Now he's the word which is made flesh. Notice that. He's the word. Where did the word originate? Where's the origination of the word? And the beginning was the... And the word was with God. And the word was God. Think about it. If we put son there, we're going to run into a lot of trouble. That's where you get all your trouble right there. In the beginning was the son. The son was with God. And the son was God? Really? You'll run on all sorts of trouble there. Why don't we leave it what it is? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. I'm all for that. Absolutely. Drop down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was brought into existence in the womb of Mary. And nothing wrong with that. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Remember that. How many wants to get off that dead bread? I want to get off the dead bread. It's just stories. It's all storytelling. It's ideas. It's ideologies. I want to get off of that. I want some truth. Give me some truth. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to tell you the truth. Your fathers ate man and they all died. You're going to die. But I'm telling you, you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you live forever. Why? Because he's the tangible part of the word made flesh. That's what it is. He becomes that. So this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread your fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Yeshua said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So I hope that you grab hold to these principles. They're wonderful. Now, when many of the disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And Yeshua, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, he said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?"
Wow.
Let me just throw this out for you. This is for your own study. That word ascending there is the same word used when Jesus come out the water in Jordan. And he ascended up out of the water. Came up out of the water. It's the same word. I'm going to throw this out to you. What if Jesus is making reference? If you're having a hard time with me explaining to you that I'm the bread of life, and you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, how are you going to deal with the fact that when I get put down, that I will ascend up where I was before? Y'all didn't get that, did you? If you can't handle this, what you going to do when I come out the tomb? And I'm walking with you again, like I was before. The vision in Daniel 7. You got to go read it. We don't have time. I thought I was going to get to it, but we don't have time. Daniel 7, the vision in Daniel. He just sees the Ancient of Days. All the stuff going on, and all of a sudden, the Son of Man. The vision of Daniel, the Son of Man. You got to go read it, Daniel 7. Take some time to do that. So I want you to see that. Where he was before. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no hope, help at all. It is what? The Spirit that gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Notice that. Now what he said is going to, that his flesh represents what? The bread. His flesh represents the bread. That if you eat the bread, what does the bread do? He says the bread will give you eternal life. And then we got this statement here. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life. So we reconcile this. When he tells them, he's trying to get them to understand that in yourself, you can't do it. But that's not what I'm telling you when I tell you about eating my flesh. Because the words I'm giving you, they are spirit born and life. They're from the Father. They're not my words. Do you get that? They're spirit born. They're the breath of God. They're God breathed. Amen? So, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The word that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Yeshua knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by my Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. After this, they turned back. That's a hard saying. So Yeshua said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well? Do you want to go away?" His disciples, the 12. Now we get in, we got this group, kind of the crowd, by now they're thinning out. They're thinning out pretty bad. So he looked at the 12. He said, "You want to go too? Are you done with me? You finished?" And I hope that you see that this is not an easy thing for Jesus. Not at all. "Do you want to go away as well?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Watch this. "You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of Elohim." Yeshua answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil?" Don't be too hard on them now. He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he was one of the 12 who was going to betray him.
Wow.
So, this was just a treat, this tour portion, just to be able to go through this. I'm telling you, it's incredible. Now, I want you to get this. The word is spirit. It's also the bread. But it's from heaven. Means its creation is in heaven. Where is the manna? Do you really believe that the angels hooked the manna machine up? You know, plugged the manna machine in, and the conveyor started rolling, and the little portal opened up, and it just started falling out of heaven? No. But is it from heaven? Of course. Because where does it originate? Who's the one who can speak man on the ground? You understand? Same thing with what he's saying. So when Jesus says, I'm from heaven, you better believe he is. That was in the purpose and plan of God in heaven. In heaven. And so I hope I reconciled some of it. To do it justice, you'd have to make this, John 6 discourse would be a series just to do it justice. Because there's so many things that you want to talk about, but you can't. You don't have the time. But we did as much as we could tonight with it. And I hope that it's helped you. Remember, Jesus said, the bread is my flesh. You just got to wear that for a while to get that. The bread is my flesh. That's not easy to get a hold to. It's really not. But I believe that that mystery, that revelation is revealed to us tonight. Because if you understand that, then you understand all of the supposedly proof text that says somehow he pre-existed from long, long ago. And that's not the case. So hopefully that this has helped you. Hopefully you've seen it. Hopefully you take some time, look at that, what I posed to you on the word ascending. What are you going to do when I'm ascending up where I was before? Take some time, look at that. Very important. Very important. I don't see, there's no issue there. Sometimes when you look at it, it kind of triggers. You say, what is that? You know, why? What is that? Why is that? The text reconciles, I can tell you. All of it does, if you take the time to look at it. And so hopefully tonight you've seen these things. You've seen how through this discourse you could take your time, go through it, and you'll see the wonderful aspects of it. But remember, the big thing is remember, Jesus says, he tells us what the bread is. When you eat this bread, you're going to have to, it's my flesh and my blood. Now that flesh is what he's wearing that, and he said, my words are spirit and they're life. So understand that it's a direct connection. He had to embody. It's hard to explain to you because people say, well, he did all these things, he had to be God. Well, no. He sold out so much. He was so sold out that he could say these things and be correct. Now, the flesh of those hearers, what did he tell them about their flesh? Nothing, there's no life in it. The Spirit's life. And so what Jesus was, he didn't say it is, what happened before he done all of this? He was baptized, come out, the Spirit descending, comes over him, and that's it. He steps out from there, and he starts preaching after the Spirit comes on him. He was completely enveloped and completely taken by the Spirit of God. Very important. So hopefully this has helped you. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed just going over this tour portion. It's a really good portion. Let's not forget service in the morning.